And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, what's going on? How are we doing?
Struggle bus.
Struggle bus, huh?
Oh, I'm on the struggle bus.
You've had a long week.
I went to Vanderbilt last night, which is good. You'll see the opener for the Vanderbilt men.
Nice.
They beat Alabama State. It was
figured they probably would.
Yeah. But I'm interested in their team this year if they get everybody back healthy. So it was good to go, but yeah, you know, it's like you gotta weigh the costs.
And you're paying the cost.
But you know, I got this is a super like 24-ounce espresso thing, so we're gonna see if it can rock and roll today.
Michelle, how's it going? How was the CMA Awards last night?
Oh.
So fun. So Joe, I'm a little tired this morning. I have my extra large coffee. That was probably one of the coolest events I've ever been to. It was so cool to see like what it looks like not on TV. Do you know what I mean? Like
yep.
They'd be like, "Okay, everybody get in your seats. 10, 9. Okay, applaud. We're back from break." I don't know. And then just talk about incredible performers, the best of the best. I know Joe's not a big country fan, but
I think Joe would enjoy the
CMA Awards. I feel like you
CMA
would enjoy
Awards.
It.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. But yes, very tired this morning, but very happy I got to go and experience that. So, highly recommend.
I got a situation on my hands. Let me tell you. Walked out the door yesterday at my house, face to face with a skunk. There's a skunk right there.
Like right five feet. Oh, no.
I saw him turn around,
too close.
And I was like, oh, it's about to happen. So I closed the door, right,
yeah,
to avoid getting sprayed in the face
by
a skunk. He sprayed. He didn't get me directly, but then runs under my house.
Oh.
And let me tell you, we got a disaster in my house.
Oh, no.
I mean, just everything. I've watched this like 8 times. We had to go stay at my parents' house last night. Our house is like fumigating. I got a trap I've got to catch this skunk in. This is a process, man. Situation on my hands. Feel like I'm on Animal Planet.
So, man, yeah, because that's, I mean, I know if you get sprayed directly, it's like,
oh,
I mean, it's bad.
It's bad news bears.
So it is being fumigated now?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got windows open. Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do. Like, my wife started like boiling vinegar last night and just trying to soak up some of the
smell.
Is it
a myth that like you take the tomato bath? Why do I feel like I knew that when I was younger?
I don't know that it's a myth. I think when I was younger, one of my dogs got sprayed by one, and that's what we did. And I guess it worked. But, you know, it didn't hit me directly. So it wasn't like I was just attacked. But it went under the house and I guess continued to do whatever it does under the house. And it's not good, buddy. Not good.
So, what's a skunk trap look like?
I've kind of got like a raccoon trap that my dad has. I was told from a good buddy of mine yesterday, you put a honey bun in this skunk trap, and it'll go in there. So, I'm going to test it. To me, as somebody who loves honey buns, seems like a waste of a honey bun, but it's probably worth it.
Wow. It is so worth it to get that thing out of there, Rob.
Yeah. So I don't really know. This could be a process. Like, we're going to have to wash every bit of clothing that we own. Like, this is a big deal. My wife, not happy.
Yeah, so like, yeah, there's no way it'll just fade.
No. Like, this is a big deal.
Man.
So that's what I've been doing the last 12, 15 hours.
So this skunk was just right outside
the right door. Just ready to get after it. And it did.
Gosh. That's tough.
Yeah, I hope, like, I'm nose blind at this point, so I'm hoping I just don't reek today.
I mean, I haven't noticed anything.
I haven't noticed anything either.
I mean, we did some serious washing, like, use some, about every ingredient, baking soda, everything you can pour into a laundry cycle, we did. So I'm hoping,
yeah,
I'll smoke y'all out.
I think it worked, man.
Good.
I think it worked. Good job.
Thank you.
Or Joe and I are just completely oblivious.
Just be like, well, you know. Whatever. Guess we'll find out.
Yeah. I don't know. We stayed up late, so does that, like, dull our senses?
Could be.
I mean, in some ways, but probably not that much. I think you're fine.
All right. Cool. Well, that's good to know.
Jeez.
So, yeah. We'll see what happens on that front. The Nashville Predators last night get another big win on the road. They win 4-2 against the Dallas Stars. By the way, things not going overly well for the Dallas Stars. A players-only meeting last night. Love hearing about those.
Oh, those are always good.
Those are always good. And then I guess Rick Bonus, Stars coach, was like 30 minutes late getting out there to the press conference last night. So not going well in the world of the Dallas Stars at the moment. But the Predators get it done last night. They improved to 7-5-1. That is now, I believe, 7 of a possible 10 points on this road trip. And don't look now, Joe Rexroad, but the goal scorers from last night, Ryan Johansson, Tanner Janot, Matt Duchene, Colton Sissons adds an empty netter, but Duchene, Johansson continuing to put the puck in the back of the net. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and that Duchene one was, I don't know, that was like the goal of just someone who's
totally confident.
On a heater, I guess, but also, yeah, just, man, like you, that was a snipe, man.
It was, you know, it was, I love that he shot that puck on the 2-on-1. Because the right play was probably actually going over to Yossi.
But that's what they thought was he was going to do, right? Yeah,
exactly. And he's just, as you pointed out, you can tell that Matt Duchene is just as confident as he's been by far since he's been in a Predators uniform. And to rip that one the way that he did, to me, I think that says a lot. And I talked about that with Porth on Preds Insiders the other day. You know, I think at times he's maybe tried to make the perfect play a little bit too much in his time here because maybe he's pressing or whatever the case may be. I think one of the things that frees you up when you're playing the way that you're playing and the way that he's been playing, just shoot it, man. Just rip that thing. And that's what he did last night. And UC Saros, excellent, again in goal again last night. If you had any questions about Saros heading into the season as to whether or not he could handle the 82-game grind, to me, that's no longer a question. He's going to be fine. He looks pretty good so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, shoot, what he was about to get with his, I thought he was going to get his fourth shutout against the Stars.
Yeah,
and it's just amazing what he does to that team. But no, he's been very good. They got some things going. Tanner Janot just keeps doing stuff, man.
Like, Tanner Janot is going to score like 20-25 goals this year.
That's amazing. But, at this point, it's kind of like, this isn't just the random occurrence here, right? And he's – obviously, he got moved around last night. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what his ultimate, landing spot is in the lineup or in a lineup in this league as things move forward.
Well, and Darren McFarland has talked about this with us. Like, at some point – and I know he's been in the top six lately just based on injury, but like at some point on a permanent basis, it may be hard to keep him out of the top six. Like if he is going to play the physical game that he brings to the table, that power forward game, while also scoring at the rate he is. I mean, the Preds put out a stat last night. He is the second fastest rookie to get to 10 goals in his career behind Alex Radulov for the history of the Predators.
Wow.
That includes Philip Forsberg, by the way. I mean, it's pretty incredible what Tanner Janot is doing out there. And yes, he still, I believe, technically is a rookie based on games played.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's 5 goals in 13 games here. I mean, you get 5 from him, you got 5 from Johansson, you got 6 from Duchene. A lot of stuff, is working out pretty well. And again, like you said, with Saros, I mean, what's he at now? A 2.28, 925. Yep, it's pretty good.
I mean, if you have those numbers all year long, he's right there. Well, I say he is. He should be right there in the Vezina Trophy conversation.
Right, right. Yeah, should have been last year. Wasn't, but he's certainly – I mean, I don't know how long it needed to take this year or if it even needed to take that long, but I think we're seeing that that's what he is. Right?
I would think, yeah.
I think you could already make the case that it wasn't fluky that he did it as long as he did last year, and then he played the way he did in the postseason series. But just in case anyone had any questions, it's consistency from him.
Are you surprised that they've played as well as they've played so far this year? I mean, they're 7-5-1, so it's not like they're just lighting it up. But, they started 1-4. They've lost one game in regulation since then. Are you surprised that they've played this well so far.
Yeah, a little bit. And, I mean, you lose Forsberg and you're still playing well. That bodes well. I mean, I kind of had the feeling that, like, Johansson and Duchesne were due for some kind of a response. I mean, it just made sense, you know, for as down as people have been on them, for all the discussion, and then they get left unpredictable. It's like, yeah, when guys are that good as they are to even be in this league as long as they've been, usually you expect a response. I can't say I saw those guys having, you know, 20 combined points here, you know, after 13 games, but that's, to me, is still the key. It's the key to the season. And, yeah, there are some other surprises, I think. You know, I mean, I think Tomasino is a nice – I mean, it's a really good start for him. Like, realistically, what you would expect from that kid is pretty good. And Janot is – I mean, he's we got to go back and, like, get the audio of the Jared Poyle, you know, expansion draft.
Well, look,
back,
I mean,
and forth.
I can't say a lot because when they protected Tanner Janot, I was like, oh, really? He's played like 13 games. You think Seattle's going to take him? And looks like Seattle might have taken him.
Would they
him.
Have?
I mean, well, that's,
I mean,
the way,
now,
that's the way Poyle
they can
made
say
it
they,
seem.
Yeah, now they can say they would have. Yeah, yeah. It's something else. It's quite a story.
I did not anticipate this early into the season, looking around and saying, hey, can you imagine this group without Tanner Janot? But here we are. It's incredible what he's been able to do thus far. You know, I look at this team. We're a few weeks away from when I start paying attention to the standings for the first time. Usually about American Thanksgiving is where I'll start paying attention to the standings. I know some people just said American Thanksgiving. There is a Canadian Thanksgiving. It's not the same day.
There is.
It's fun. I had a bunch of friends
like
celebrating.
It's like October, isn't it?
Oh, is that right?
I think.
Okay.
I don't know. I need to go check. Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
If only there was
there
a
is one,
machine.
Though. And we're talking about hockey, so.
Yeah, it's October
right.
10th.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So they've already celebrated this holiday. The Predators had not played a game yet by a Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's
so
not
much good
when
in
you
the
standings.
Yeah. But, I mean, hey, we're getting close. I mean, I guess my question is how many games do they have to do this for you to say, okay, this may not be a fluke. Like, they may actually be a pretty good team.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, you're top four on defense. I mean, it's worked out quickly. I think that's a big key, that you have a top four that you feel good about. And I didn't know. We didn't know that was going to be the case, right? We didn't know where Fabro was going to be. So that seems to be solidified. Granlund just continues to be a key guy. Yeah, it's those two guys. If they keep playing, and I'm not saying they're not going to stay at this exact rate of production, but if they basically play like this all year, then I think you've got – barring a rash of injuries, and we know there's going to be some injuries, but barring a epidemic, I think that they're a playoff team.
It was interesting to hear Mattias Ekholm on the show yesterday essentially say that, like, yeah, we knew that if those two didn't play well, probably weren't going to do a whole lot. I love Mattias Ekholm's honesty. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
You don't hear a lot of NHL players say stuff like that. He's
yeah,
just like, yeah, you know.
It's kind of low key. Yeah. He's not out there blasting it, but it's kind of like, wait, what did he say? Oh yeah. Thank you, Mattias.
Yes. We love Mattias Ekholm here on the show. When we come back, we'll get into the Titans, get to the linebacker position. How important has David Long Jr. been to this group so far, and how important is that coming up on Sunday as well? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. The NFL season is flying by, and there's a big Week 10 Monday night matchup between division rivals, the Rams and the 49ers, and FanDuel Sportsbook about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Give me the Rams on the money line. I just don't – not a big believer in the 49ers this year. Give me Matthew Stafford on the over on passing yards as well. Give me the under on the game total, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. You get paid in as little as 2 hours, and it's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. So just sign up with promo code ROB this week before the Rams take on the 49ers, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wagering designated offer market, a max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, talking Titans and taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coy in Clarksville texting in. David Long has made himself the best middle linebacker on the team, hands down. J-Rob may not be great at first-round drafting, but his later-round drafting has been great. This is coming from Coy in Clarksville. Certainly David Long Jr., friend of the show, has played very well as of late. The big question for the short term is, what does his availability look like as Sunday comes up against New Orleans? Obviously left the game late in the Rams game after the game was really already in hand with an injury. He's on the report yesterday with a hamstring injury and did not practice. Now, I know that causes some people to freak out. I will say, the Wednesdays lately for the Titans, I don't freak out too much about the injury report. Once you start to get into Thursday and Friday, I think you start to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. Although the fact that he limped off right in the last game
didn't look great.
Isn't great. I mean, Landry has been on there. He's on there again. Chris Jackson's been on their foot. Landry's a hamstring. He's on there again. We know, like Bud Dupree, I expect every Wednesday to see Bud Dupree. Knee did not practice. That's the case. The good news on the – well, here's one interesting thing on the injury report. Julio Jones is not on it.
Yeah.
He is not listed anywhere. A.J. Brown is on it, knee, limited. But the fact that he was limited on Wednesday is probably good. I think maybe the best thing on the injury – other than the lack of Julio Jones, the absence of Julio Jones, is that LaJuan was back, was limited, and Nate Davis is full.
Yep.
He's still listed on there as concussion. He's in concussion protocol, but – you'd expect him back. So the offensive line could be in much better shape for this game. And look, if, you know, and Rashawn Evans, by the way, was back. So if David Long loses a game here, that's where it's good to have depth. That's where it's good to have Rashawn Evans. I mean, I think that the best duo that we finally got to see the other night is the two, the Long and Jayon Brown. But Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans, they've played together, and that would be fine if Rashawn Evans can get himself back on the field.
It's been pretty incredible to watch David Long Jr. kind of ascend this year into the role that he's had. I agree. I mean, the best linebacking combo that they have at middle linebacker certainly is Long Jr. and Jayon Brown. You know, what that combo looks like moving forward, I don't know. Like, I still – it'd be difficult for me to imagine Rashawn Evans being here certainly next year. I kind of feel the same way about Jayon Brown, depending on how the rest of the season goes. But David Long Jr., to me, it seems like both in the short term and for the foreseeable future with this Titans team, maybe carving out a role for himself where he's going to be a pretty important part of this defense for a long time. He's been really impressive so far this year.
Yeah, probably should have had an idea when he had to be forced into action as a rookie in that game in Baltimore, that he was going to be good. And last year, he had his ups and downs, and you just didn't know. And sometimes I think you look at a player, you do look at the draft history, and you're like, well, sixth-round pick, you know, I don't know. Is he actually going to be, you know, is he actually going to be a starter someday, like a plus starter? Though the answer is a resounding yes this year. And it's a good point by the texter there on the late-round picks. I mean, Jayon Brown, by the way, was a fifth-round pick. Now there's plenty of late-round picks. You can go through the history of John Robinson that haven't gone well, but quite a few guys who did stick.
Chris Jackson looks pretty good after Sunday.
He does. I mean, you look at – you know, again, we just went over the 19 draft, which is going to be hard to top. You know, when you got Nate Davis in the third, Amani Hooker in the fourth, David Long in the sixth, A.J. Brown in the second, Jeffrey Simmons in the first. But Chris Jackson – is helping that 2020 draft look a little better in the seventh round. Laurell Murchison's, you know, plays. He's in the fifth round. And then Fulton, by the way, who I don't know if that means he'll be back or not, Christian Fulton. the fact that he's back at practice. Sometimes it's the next week, but that would be huge for this defense.
Would be huge for the defense, and you know, we'll see what happens for Long on the injury report today. But it's kind of crazy to think about, like, the way the defense, the way especially the front four, they've been playing as of late. And then you throw Christian Fulton potentially back out in there. Hopefully David Long, if it's not this week, it's not too much of a long-term thing and he can get back and be healthy. Like, if this defense can get fully healthy, how good can this defense be? You know, that's an interesting question that I'm not sure heading into the season I would have spent a whole lot of time thinking about based on the expectations for this group. But I've allowed my mind to wander as to how good this defense could be. And I don't know. It's interesting. With the way the front four has been playing, I think sky's kind of the limit for this group.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, though, you're waiting for the next injury.
Right.
So, you know, like the fully healthy thing is just, you know, okay, so who's next? But, yeah, it'd be very interesting to see some time with Long, the way he's playing in there, with Fulton back in the front, and with, you know, with Hooker now. And even, like, with, again, Chris Jackson, I feel like, man, he's – like that last game, especially after watching it again, it's like, man, that's a guy I think you want on the field the way he's playing now. Not just like his speed looks good, but he's, you know, tackling with physicality. That's going to be interesting to see how they juggle the secondary, if they juggle it when Fulton comes back. You know, going in, we talked about how if the pass rush, if you know, Simmons and Autry are a good pair, and if Dupree is really good, and really he hasn't been, I mean, he hasn't been what they paid for yet.
No.
He's had his fits and starts coming off the ACL, but talked about the pass rush and what it would mean. I don't know how many people thought it could be this good as it was last game, as good as it was against the Chiefs. And some of that is just, I think, Simmons coming into his own too.
Yep. I mean, and now they just had a question on the NFL Network, you know, about Jeffrey Simmons. Can he get two sacks or more against the Saints? So we talked about him generating more attention after the Sunday night game. You get three sacks on Sunday night football, people are going to start paying attention. And now they're setting pregame sack expectations for Jeffrey Simmons on the NFL Network. What do you think of that?
That's some national attention for the Titans. Take note of the national attention for the Titans. The crazy thing is, like, if you're an OC watching that last game, you could also make a case like, no, but we need to double Autry.
Yeah.
You know? We need to double Simmons and Autry. And, oh gosh, that Landry guy coming on the edge. And that's another part of it, too. Did we think Harold Landry was going to be, you know, getting about a dozen sacks this year, which I think might be a modest estimate as he sits here at 9? I didn't.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dustin from Hopkinsville texting in. David Long Jr. is where the good defensive play started. The dude is everywhere. It's so refreshing to see a Titan that knows how to tackle. He flies around like a madman. He's a staple to this team. Yeah. Do you think David Long Jr. is where the good defense started? I mean, he certainly, even earlier in the season when the defense still had their struggles. Corey Curtis joined us like 6 or 7 weeks ago. I was like, David Long Jr. is around the ball every play. May not be making the play every time, but he's around the ball every play. I mean, it's been pretty noticeable all year long how good he's been.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that you weren't sure about before this year was, okay, but when he has to be in coverage, what about that? And he's worked really well. You saw the great play he made, almost that pick.
Oh, man.
Launching, you know, backward after with a really good drop in their zone coverage. So he's worked on that. He has ball skills. Obviously, he gets the pick the other night too. That was kind of a big deal. It was also a gift that he'll think he should send Matthew Stafford a gift basket for. But no, it makes a big difference. And look, it's just, I think Rashawn Evans has been pretty good at times this year, but there's just such a difference between a guy who just seems to have that little bit faster reaction time and gets there and just has, you know, I know it's such a cliche, nose for the ball. And a guy like, you know, Evans, who too often I think is just not quite there, you know, or misreads it or whatever. It's just, but also I think it's just Long, I think his effort is obvious. It stands out.
We talk all the time about the connection between the pass rush and the secondary and how those two parts of a defense are intertwined. We've got a stat for you on the other side that illustrates that pretty well. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Anaheim Ducks at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Monday, November the 22nd? Well, head on over to YouTube, subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Preds take on the Ducks. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com. Once again, that's promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, November 15th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans, and Joe, I've got a stat for you. We always talk about the marriage between the pass rush and the coverage in the secondary. And Mike Herndon put this out yesterday on Twitter. Some love for the Titans secondary, who is about to get their best corner in Christian Fulton back. Of the team's 23 sacks in 2021, 22 of them have come after 2.5 seconds in the pocket, according to PFF charting. Yes, the pass rush is much better, but so is the coverage. What have you thought of the coverage? And it's kind of amazing to think about that when you think about who has been in the secondary, specifically at the cornerback positions over the course of the last 3-4 weeks.
Well, I guess my answer would be it's more coordinated.
Wow.
It's better coordinated.
It is better coordinated.
But really, 2.5 seconds, and that's not long. You know, I mean, it's a good stat. It's not like instant sacks, but yeah, like the other night, a couple of those sacks absolutely were. It's not like it was boom. Yeah, a couple. Yes, you know, Jeffrey Simmons just busting up the middle or just takes the left guard and throws him on Stafford. You know, some of those were like that, but some of them were also were like Stafford's first thing was taken away. I don't know. It's again, like they play a ton of zone, so it's not just like you're locking all these receivers down with man coverage.
Right.
It's you know, like if you watch, like for example, there was some really good breakdown of the Titans defense by Baldinger, Brian. Yeah, his breakdown, and some of it is just like the zone underneath coverage taking away the quick little hooks and stuff that you know that Stafford and a lot of quarterbacks like to go to if they don't have what they're looking for on the outside instantly. They quickly come back to that. David Long, part of that. Jayon Brown, part of that. You know, just really getting to the spot, taking it away. So it's not just like, oh, that means the corners are playing great or whatever. It's the whole defense being coordinated. I mean, you know, I mean, it's very vague and vanilla, but that's kind of – and the other night, definitely, there were some times where it just looked like this connected amoeba out there, which is what defensive coaches want to see, and Stafford had to eat it a few times. I feel like against the Chiefs, there were some times it was I feel like against the Chiefs it was a little bit more – they were just barnstorming in on him, you know, early. But
well, and Mahomes will hold the ball forever.
Well, and plus, so that time in the pocket, I mean, sometimes – like a guy like Mahomes will extend it, right? So he'll extend it, run around, but still take the sack. So that adds to your average time. Yeah. But to me, those are still more sack, like pass rush sacks and coverage sacks, I guess. But again, it goes hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand. But I will say, when you can generate this amount of pressure without bringing anybody, when you're just rushing four and they can generate this time of pressure and you can drop seven, I mean, it makes sense that guys are covered up because you got seven guys back in coverage, whether you're in zone or you're in showing some man concepts back there too, you know, playing some robber coverage. I mean, there's a lot of things that they do out there, but when you're rushing four and you're getting home with four, that's pretty hard to beat. I mean, you think about, and you brought this up earlier this week, the Bucs last year, they didn't blitz a whole lot in the playoff run because they got home with four. And when you can rush four and drop seven, you're in a pretty good spot as a defense.
Big time. And they still blitzed a handful of times the other night. Now, if they blitz, typically they're bringing Molden or they're bringing Long. You know, those seem to be like the two guys that Shane Bowen really likes as blitzers, you know. Just like when Logan Ryan was here, he was just so good at it. So good at timing it up, at disguising it, and then, you know, getting there. But, I mean, a handful of times in a game, that's great. Think about last year. I mean, honestly, even in Dean Pease last year, I feel like they blitzed a lot to get a lot of their sacks and pressures. And it worked. They had some really cool blitzes. But, yeah, when you can just have another body in coverage, that's big.
By the way, have you seen Dean Pease and some of his media availabilities this year?
So
he was pretty upset yesterday.
Yeah, I saw the beginning of one, and then I didn't finish it. I actually meant to go back and watch that. It looked like he had a little back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up? Dean Pease, man. Getting in fights. Atlanta media. Maybe the Atlanta media just isn't soft like the Nashville media.
Maybe,
is that what it is?
Maybe so.
Nashville media was too soft on Dean Pease.
Maybe so.
Yeah, Dean Pease is like, I'm going to retire. No, I'm not. No, I'm going to retire. Now I'm coming back, and I am going to yell and unload on the media. Let's go.
Liam on the text line says, so when Shane Bowen wins assistant of the year and gets hired by the Bears, will we elevate Jim Schwartz from puppet master to defensive coordinator? This is coming from Liam.
Puppet master, nice.
Your thoughts?
He's like, maybe like Shane Bowen goes to bed at night, he puts on like subliminal messages from Jim Schwartz in his earbuds, yeah. You know, just like helping him coordinate the defense. It's funny, right? I mean, the Titans have had some people hired away, and if you have a season like, what if they go like 13-4 this year? I mean, someone's going to be like, who? Okay.
Todd Downing going to get hired?
I mean, why not? Just keep plucking the assistants away.
Just cycle through Titans offensive coordinators, LaFleur, Smith, and then Downing. I mean, based on the job LaFleur and Smith have done so far, get Downing out there, you'll probably do a good job as a head coach.
You know, the crazy thing is that, you know, you forget how young Shane Bowen is.
Yeah.
That scraggly beard, you know, kind of hides the fact that he's like 34 or something like that, you know. But, hey, I mean – yeah, and that would work out well. Jim Schwartz wants to get back into it full time. There you go. He's ready to be your DC. He's back in the job that got him a head coaching job in the first place.
JP from Spring Hill texting in. What do we think of the Titans cutting Breon Borders? It seems like we always have injuries in the secondary, and I know Borders gets some heat from the fan base, but he was trending up after his last couple appearances, in my opinion.
He was trending down after the one that I think is why he's out now, which was and help me figure that out. Which game was that? He had a rough game.
Well, it was Buffalo, right?
I mean, it was the Buffalo game, yes.
Because that's when Maben comes in the next week and
against Kansas City,
starting ahead of him.
Exactly. So the Buffalo game. I mean, I do think, and I've thought this. It's like it does seem like, man, sometimes this staff, it feels like there's like one bad game and okay, bye. You know. That's it. But the funny thing is, too, sometimes those guys end up coming back. Yeah. Like they come back around to him. I do think that overall Borders was a pretty good pickup, but clearly it seemed to be a reaction to that game, and they've moved on. And now so they have Maben, who should be coming back, but they have Chris Jones has been elevated, and those are their depth guys now. So obviously at this point, you know, you hope – with Fulton coming back, whenever it is, I'd say it's either this game or the next game. You got Chris Jackson as your four, and you hope that you can keep it there. And you don't have to go beyond that. And if that's the case, then you're going to be in good shape.
Doesn't it seem like Chris Jackson probably better suited on the outside than the inside at this point? I know they worked him a lot inside, especially in camp to begin the season, but he looked pretty darn good on the outside the other night.
Yeah, and I think Elijah Molden was drafted to be a slot corner here, and he's going to be a good slot corner here for a long time. It's not perfect. There's rookie-ish stuff, but, I mean, guy tackles, makes plays, and you can tell with him, even just like the fact that his dad was in the league and everything and how mature he is, that he's going to be good.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, I saw that Josh Reynolds got picked up by the Lions.
Yes.
Should have traded in to get Khalif Raymond back.
No, that's going to be your, I mean.
What a combo.
I mean, the roar is being restored. Khalif Raymond on one side, Josh Reynolds on the other side.
I mean, he's going to go to.
What more do you want?
He's going to go to Detroit and probably be like their wide receiver one, right? Like, he's going to go from being inactive, healthy scratch, to maybe their first option at wide receiver.
And remember, he's reuniting with his old quarterback, too. Reuniting with Jared Goff. Yeah, I mean, I guess. So, good for him. I mean, honestly, in all seriousness, in a prove-it year, which has been anything but proving it, if you go there and, like, put up numbers, you've at least given yourself a chance. And maybe you've started a wonderful future with a resurgent franchise led by Dan Campbell.
Maybe so. Maybe Josh Reynolds leads the Lions to their first win this year.
Imagine
I have no idea who they play on Sunday. But maybe that'll happen.
So I'm trying to think.
They play the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah,
probably, I don't think you're going to see your first win.
Probably not.
Probably not.
They'll beat somebody, right? They're certainly not that team that Rod Marinelli coached to an 0-16 a few years. I mean, they're better than that team, which is saying something.
They are, but man, they're,
they're pretty bad.
When we come back, we'll look ahead to the Titans and the Saints matchup coming up on Sunday, including a big question mark for the Saints heading into this game. We'll get to that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The deal this week, a $30 gift card for only $15 to the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, your favorite community coffee and tea shop, offering a variety of coffee flavors and shine-worthy teas. The Beanbag is a great place to have a meeting while sipping on a cup of hot or cold coffee or tea, and you can also enjoy a delicious breakfast sandwich, cheddar broccoli soup, turkey sandwiches, and more. So get your deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Saints coming up on Sunday. And, Joe, a question mark for the Saints heading in this game. Alvin Kamara listed on the injury report with a knee injury. Reports coming out from New Orleans that it's possible that Kamara may not practice this week and then may try to give it a go coming up on Sunday. Now, we'll see what happens on that front. Only Wednesday yesterday, so still some time for Kamara. But obviously, with Jameis Winston already out, Kamara is a big part of the offense anyway. It becomes even bigger without your starting quarterback. If they don't have him, that's a big deal for this New Orleans team coming into this game.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. And you know, they're an interesting team. I mean, I don't know how they're doing what they're doing, really. You think about when they looked like the greatest team in the history of the NFL. They do have a good D, though. I mean, that's legit. But their offense, you take him out of there. I did watch a fair amount of that second half. It was one of those things where, you know, you're down big and you get on a roll, and the other team's playing soft zone defense, and but I'm still like, man, that's Trevor Siemian just lighting the world on fire. And then, of course, they give up the big shot to Cordarrelle Patterson down the sideline, man. Big time play. But
a lot of former Vols in that matchup.
There are. Hey, we got some Marquez Callaway coming in, wearing the number one this weekend. I mean, he's been very good. But, yeah, you take Kamara out of there, or even just have a banged up, limited Kamara, boy, it seems to bode well. It seems to be a nice matchup for the Titans defense, which I think we're going to be saying a lot down the stretch. You're just going to have to get used to saying it. The conversation around the Titans defense is just completely different now.
It is. I'm just excited you get to see your boy Taysom Hill coming up on Sunday. It's going to be a treat. So I can't wait for the play-by-play updates of the Taysom Hill Love Fest coming from Joe Rexroad.
So, and by the way, he came in and took a couple series. Is that right? Apparently, that's my understanding. At some point in that game, earlier in that game, he came in and just sort of took over at QB for a little bit.
That's what he does, man.
He does it all. So very excited to see Taysom Hill.
He had
incredible H-back.
One carry for 4 yards last Sunday. And threw for 33 yards, 2 for 2 passing. 100% completion percentage.
I mean, what more do you want?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 16 and a half yards per attempt. Yep, that's Hall of Fame right there.
In all seriousness, this is an interesting matchup from the Titans from the standpoint of, you know, you say you don't know how they're doing what they're doing, and I agree. Like, it's been pretty unbelievable, even with Jameis as the quarterback, to watch at times how good they've been this year. But I think the answer is probably Sean Payton. I mean, Sean Payton is a really good coach. And, you know, I know the Bounty Gate stuff is easy to talk about with Sean Payton and all that stuff, but, you know, there's a reason he's been around as long as he has, and it's not just because he had Drew Brees as his quarterback. Dude's a pretty good coach, and this is a dangerous game for the Titans heading into this game. You know, we talked about the stat of the four consecutive playoff teams. This would be number five. I think they would be the second team if they can win this game in NFL history to get it done. This is not going to be an easy one for the Titans coming up on Sunday.
No.
As the following week may be.
Right. No, and the Saints, you know, if you look at their offensive numbers, I mean, they're all pretty bad. You know, they're right in the high 20s in a lot of categories offensively. But defensively, number one rush D in the league, number one in yards per game, yards per play, they're number one. They're a great turnover-forcing team, great, you know, fourth and third down. They allow 37% on third down, which is ninth in the league. By the way, you know, the Titans right now are 12th in the league and are giving up 38.8% on third down. I mean, it's pretty dramatic.
Yeah. You know.
But, you know, Saints giving up 19.4 points a game, fifth in the league. Now, what's interesting is even with those overall really good defensive stats, they are 27th in pass D, 273.3 a game, and they're 22nd in pass yards per play, 7.34. So, you saw the game the other day. They had this great comeback. They're about to win this game, and they give up the shot, you know, down the field. So it's interesting. If it was Derrick Henry, this would be like this great matchup of this really talented physical defensive front against him. Now it's that against a team that is going to want to run the ball, but, you know, we still don't really know what that run game is. But they seem to be a bit vulnerable down the field.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our buddy Will from Nashville texting in. Are y'all surprised that the line is only 3? That implies a pick 'em on a neutral field, as y'all know. The line on FanDuel Sportsbook has gone down to 2.5 in favor of the Titans. The over-under, 44.5. That's a low number for a Titans game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, you know, I think that there's just still a lot of questioning what the Titans are going to be offensively, which I think is fair. And again, they're going against a really good D. So that matches up with the over-under. And I guess I would say I'd be a little surprised. Like, if I had to guess going into this game, I would guess maybe the line would be like Titans by 4, 4.5. But it wouldn't be more than that, right?
I wouldn't think so. Michelle, is your mic on?
You all right there, Michelle?
She's stretching over there. It's been a tough one for Michelle so far.
Deep sigh.
It hit with my elbow while I was editing this. Yeah, that was just bad timing.
Just a deep sigh at our bad analysis. That's fine.
No, Joe, you're fine.
Now we know what you're doing in there.
Joe had like a funny clip I'm just editing, and you just had a major word, like you just couldn't say the words, and I was just laughing. So
that's from today?
Yeah, your FanDuel. You're like, and then you started over.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. Yeah, there'd be some good bloopers in those recordings.
Yes, I'm sure that there would be. Anyway, what were we talking about, Titans Saints?
The occasional F-bomb and not the F-bomb FanDuel.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Dustin texting in. Facts are facts. The defensive line is disrupting quarterbacks. This opens up Byard's options, but I look at it as it gives opportunity for Byard to show his full potential. All positions are made to complement other positions, and it's a team sport. That's what good teams do. They do their jobs, and your ballers play up to their potential. No doubt that Byard is special. Interesting press conference with Byard yesterday, too, talking about maybe the people butchering his name left and right. Doesn't necessarily bother him. It's happened his whole life.
I was very proud of my tweet.
The Bynard?
Yes. A coach called him Bynard, and I was like, that would be a great fan club for Kevin Byard. The Bynards. So if there isn't already a fan club for Kevin Byard, is that happening anymore? Like, are there fan clubs for individual players
I'm
now?
I'm sure there are.
That used to be a big thing, like in the 80s.
You're part of the league. You are the president
Pat Rocks
of Nick Westbrook Aquinas fan club.
There's that.
That's right.
You do have a button. I'm sure in your earlier days, a staunch member of the Dan Fouts fan club as well.
Oh, absolutely. But, yeah, well, the Westbrook Aquinas were keen on Aquinas. See, there you go.
Yes.
I just created a fan club. Yeah, the Bynerds, though. If there isn't one already, that should be the name. But, yeah, he laughed it off, which is good for him. Because I said to him, like, so basically you're the new Mariota. He's like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Well, it was interesting. You know, Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark have started this segment on ESPN. It's really good. I mean, they're doing
Film breakdown stuff?
Yeah, film breakdown stuff is awesome. But it was funny. Like, Orlovsky began the segment of, you know, Kevin Byard, this young player making a name for himself, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, he's like one of the highest paid safeties in the league, and he's been in the league for like 6 years. And
it's his 6th year.
Yeah. But cool.
All right, Dan. Hey, Dan, how many yards deep is the end zone, buddy? And we love Dan, friend of the show.
He is a friend of the show. But when he said that the young player making a name for himself, I'm like, huh, what else does Kevin Byard really have to do to make a name for himself in this league? He's been pretty good so far.
Yeah, apparently he has to do a lot more so people can say his name correctly. So,
when we come back, we'll switch gears, get into the Vols. What sort of a chance do we actually give them in this Georgia game? What would be a success in the game against Georgia? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.